Hello everyone and welcome back to the Chelsea Overseas Podcast. Today we preview Canada's Gold Cup quarterfinals against Costa Rica. The brackets have been announced, and so far we have on the our side of the bracket we have Canada versus Costa Rica, Mexico versus Honduras, we got America versus Jamaica, and we got Qatar, the wild card, versus El Salvador. So, but before we get to talking about previewing the Costa Rica game, I think we should recap the Canada versus US group stage game, as we took a loss, 1-0 loss. Debatably, it could have been a tie, could have even been a win for Canada, but you know, it is what it is. That's the beautiful game. It happens to everyone. Adam, what were your thoughts on the performance? Do you think it was an optimistic loss?
Yeah, so in terms of the US, I was happy. At the end of the game, obviously I was disappointed. We had just lost to the US. But in terms of the performance, I couldn't ask for too much more.
Definitely.
If you wanted to be extra critical, a good start in these games would be nice. That's something to take for the World Cup qualifiers, because when you're going away from home to Mexico, to the US, to Jamaica, with packed stadiums, conceding in the first, second minute is never the easiest of things. But we dealt with it really well, which I was very happy with. But you want to try to avoid those things. And sadly, we just couldn't find the back of the net. We had some chances. We weren't able to find the back of the net.
A lot of our chances were getting saved, or they were just too close to the keeper when they had the space to make a better shot, maybe in the edges or in the top corners. But there was one shot. Who was it?
Buchanan.
Buchanan. He tried to bend it into the top right corner, and it was a beautiful shot. But I think it went just wide, or did the keeper save it? I can't remember.
Just wide. Yeah.
Yeah, just wide. It was a beautiful shot, though.
Yeah, definitely was. And that's the thing. I think US had Canada for about 25 minutes. Canada struggled to get past the halfway line, really.
Yes. But you know what? That's also a good thing too. Because you say it's good to have I guess if you're being extra picky, it's good to have a good start. But then again, a lot of people do, and then they get tired, right? And so They were trying to play more defensive in the first few minutes, and the U.S. managed to find a way through them for the first 10 to 20 minutes. But after that, like, you could tell, like, Canada had the upper hand. Like, I guess USA got tired or something, right? And that could have been just from pushing too forward in the first few minutes.
Yeah, and they always say you can't press at 100% for 90 minutes.
Exactly.
Right? But yeah, Canada grew into the game. For 20, 25 minutes, the U.S. were the better team. We couldn't play through their press at all. But once Canada found a way through it and started getting their midfielders involved and those front players, then Canada was able to have more possession and really start to pin US back. And the US started dropping deeper and deeper to the point where they didn't really have a way out. DK, Zardes, they were pretty isolated up front, and Canada did a really good job, really from probably minute 30 to 95.
Of just shutting them out.
Yeah, did an amazing job of winning the ball back quickly, pressing well when they lost it, and it allowed them to have a lot of possession. That's why you didn't see the US create anything other than the first goal. And that's what I was really happy with the fact that you have a terrible start. You have a penalty decision that doesn't go your way, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
And so everything's going against you those first 20, 25 minutes, but we stay calm. We don't give them another big chance. We grow our way back into the game. And then by minute 30, minute 35, we had the upper hand in the game, right? We were controlling the tempo of the game, and we started to create our own chances, and it just became a game of, can we put one in the back of the net? Because we were doing everything else right. So, and sadly, we weren't able to, but we outplayed the US for an hour, basically.
I'd say so, for
yeah.
Sure.
And overall, you could argue we were the better team. We definitely deserved a draw, maybe even deserved a win.
The draw, for sure. I know you mentioned that penalty, and I say we get to that now, because do you think Canada were unlucky with that call? I know the Canadian offense were in the American penalty box, and then there was what looked like a very clear foul.
Yeah, so it was kind of typical CONCACAF refereeing, and this is why when CONCACAF introduced VAR, I said to myself, yeah, this is not going to make things better, because it's just CONCACAF. If UEFA can't do it right, and if UEFA is going to make it so controversial, CONCACAF is going to be three times more controversial. So the penalty call where Zimmer, I believe it was Zimmerman who took down Richie Larea in around 10 minutes and around there. That was a clear penalty. I was watching on One Soccer. Everyone there thought it was a penalty. Yeah, it was pretty clear. They say if it's a clear and obvious error, then the ref will go to VAR and they'll switch the call if it's clear and obvious. That was clear and obvious. And if the people in the VAR room are having trouble, then the ref should be going to the monitor on the sideline, look at it for himself, and make the decision, because that was a penalty. And the U.S. got away with one there. And if that's a penalty and Canada tie at 1-1, you never know. We could have topped this group.
Yeah, it could have been a completely different outcome. I mean, goal differential-wise, we would have.
Yeah. A point would have done it, right? And we were unlucky in a couple situations.
Yeah.
Definitely. With some of the chances we had and obviously a penalty that wasn't given. But what I will say is that this is nothing new. This is the way it goes in this region sometimes. Sometimes it's in your favor. Sometimes it's not in your favor. And this was good preparation for Canada for September, because in these big World Cup qualifying games, you're going to go away from home against Mexico, U.S., Costa Rica, Jamaica, the big teams. And maybe some decisions won't go your way, but you're going to have to deal with it and just move on from it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the performance was very positive. We were the better team overall, should have at least gotten a draw. And we had the U.S. on the ropes for a good hour there and should have put one in the back of the net.
I mean, not only was the stadium against us, not only was the ref clearly against us, but even the injuries that Canada experienced. So I guess we were just unlucky that day. Speaking of the injuries, I know Laren and Akinola are out for a good amount of time. Akinola more than Laren, obviously, from the torn ACL. What does this mean for Canada moving forward?
Well, it sucks. Akinola is the one I feel terrible. I feel bad for both, but more Akinola because his is a lot more serious with the ACL.
Yeah, that's, for those who don't know, it's a serious injury, especially in soccer. Like, sometimes career ending, sometimes just you're not done for the full year, which can also impact your skill level. Because while others are out there playing and practicing, you're just focusing on healing. It's hard.
Yeah, it's a bad injury. And Akinola will be out for the remainder of 2021. He's going to miss some World Cup qualifiers, which suck. But thankfully, we have Laren and David, and hopefully they'll be fine. Yeah, with Akinola, it just sucks. You know, he says he's going to play for Canada, and then in favor of the U.S., he chooses us over the U.S., then he plays a game in U.S. against the U.S. in a Gold Cup.
And they punish him for it.
Yeah, and he gets injured. It sucks. And you just feel for him. You hope for a speedy recovery. And to lose two strikers in one game, especially in a game that we were already into the next round, it sucks. And I feel for Akinola first and foremost, but I feel for John Herdman a little, because you lose two strikers in one game. I mean,
we were, Canada especially, our team is so heavily, or I guess we're very strong in our offense is what I'm trying to say. We have some of the biggest names up there. In other words, we need David to return.
Yes, please.
Just buy his plane ticket right now.
Yeah. And what I will say for Laren, for everyone who don't know, it's an injury that'll probably be around 2 to 3 weeks. So he'll definitely be back for World Cup qualifiers. I'm not trying to jinx anything here. I was reading 2 to 3 weeks, and he should be good for Besiktas. to open up the season, which is great. So he should be okay. That's awesome. So he's out the remainder of the tournament, which absolutely sucks. But more importantly, he'll be there for September if everything goes as it should. And that's the positive. That's a positive thing.
We need them to have a speedy recovery. We pray they get well soon. Canada needs you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And what I will say, something that I thought was really impressive about this performance. I remember in November of 2019 when we played the U.S. in the Nations League, when the U.S. scored early, quickly became 2-3, right? And Canada lost control really after that first goal. They lost, there was pretty much no defensive structure. The U.S., Canada threw everything out there and the U.S. were hitting them on counterattacks left, right, and center, right? Whereas on Sunday, when Canada tried to get back into the game, they did it in a much more composed manner. Rather than throwing bodies forward and losing total control, it was taking calculated risks. And it was managing the game and not going all out and leaving ourselves open at the back at the 40th minute. You know, Canada were able to put the U.S. on their heels while maintaining that structure defensively and making it difficult for them to hit Canada on the counterattack, because the U.S. did nothing going forward. I'm going to hand it to them because they were very good defensively. They defended for an hour really well, but they were quite passive when they got the ball. And if Canada maybe had one or two decisions that went their way, were maybe a little more clinical, this would have been a different result. And I guarantee you, John Herdman woke up the next morning feeling better about the performance for Canada than Greg Berhalter did for the U.S. I thought it was a good performance and deserved more.
Definitely. I think anyone who watched the game could agree. But from the group stages, now that it's all done and over with, looking back, what would you say was the goal of the tournament? Because I know we did that for the Euros, so it's only fair we do that for the Gold Cup.
So I'm going to go back to the first game I watched at this Gold Cup, Jamaica-Suriname. Bobby Decordova-Reed, the absolute banger of a volley against Suriname. What a goal. That's the one for me.
Yeah.
I will go second. The left back for Qatar, I forget his name. That goal against Honduras, questions about the keeper?
Oh, yes. I did see that one on Instagram.
From that angle? Wow.
It was a very hard angle. So, from all the teams, who do you think has been the most unimpressive and impressive? I'd say Qatar has been impressive for me.
I was going to say Qatar too. I do agree with Qatar, I mean.
Also Jamaica, but I mean that was kind of expected.
Yeah, I'm going to go unimpressive. I'm going to go Mexico.
Mexico.
I mean, they were in a group. Group A was significantly weaker because Curaçao was booted out of the tournament for COVID reasons. So they were in a group, easy group for them. Trinidad, Guatemala, El Salvador. No disrespect to those teams, but Mexico are the kings of the region. That should be light work for them. Yeah, they didn't make it light work. Trinidad held them to a draw. Remember, Trinidad was a team that couldn't come out of their World Cup qualifying group, that had St. Kitts, Bahamas, and teams that were nowhere near the top 100 in the FIFA rankings. Like, it should have been no problem for Trinidad, and they made a mess of it. Mexico couldn't get a win there. Okay, they were fine against Guatemala. And then I watched them against El Salvador, and on another day, El Salvador could have easily gotten a draw there. Right? And they've brought a good squad, Mexico. Okay, Lozano's out. But overall, it's a pretty good squad. And listen, they're Mexico. Knowing them, they'll go on and win the tournament. But based on if you're just looking at the group stages, it was weird. I wasn't impressed at all.
I guess, yeah, I can agree with that. For me, though, going back with what you said earlier, I'd still say America.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I find they haven't been as particular as they were previous years.
Yeah, I mean, they are missing their best players, but still, I do agree with you. Like,
yeah,
Canada, we should have gotten at least a draw. And Haiti had done pretty well against the U.S. too.
Yes, they did. That is true.
Yeah, so It wasn't the super smooth from the US. And on the Qatar, they've probably been the most smooth team at this tournament. Like, wow. I mean, they swatted Grenada away. Whatever. Okay, Panama was more of a shootout, but they won it 3-2. It's kind of, they weren't great defensively there, but they had more than enough going forward. Against Honduras, though, you had a good team, and it was packed, right? With Honduras fans. Qatar, I mean, wow. Amazing going forward.
Yeah, especially taking in the fact that I just realized this. They've been playing in enemy territory this whole time.
They've been awesome. They're so much fun.
It's not like they can have a home game back in like the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they will at the World Cup. And I mean, they're ready for the World Cup.
I think they are now too.
They are. They are. They look a real team. And they're fun. They're going to entertain. They've got a great attacking players and attacking quality. I mean, they've been great in an attacking sense of all three games. But what impressed me with Honduras was defensively. I thought against Panama, they were okay defensively. But against Honduras, that clean sheet was well-deserved. And that's a real team right there. And one that can challenge Mexico and maybe win the tournament. They looked really good.
So do you think it's going to be a Mexico-Qatar finals?
I hope I'm wrong because I hope Canada does it. But that is my prediction.
I'm guessing a Mexico-Jamaica finals.
All right.
Yeah, I think Jamaica is more than capable of beating USA right now. And I think it'll be a close match against Qatar, but with the likes of Bailey and just, I think Jamaica has incomparable speed, which is often a huge huge game changer when it comes to soccer.
Yeah, I think they could have hurt the US in transition, but we'll see.
Okay. Looking forward to our next game, the first game of ours in the quarterfinals. So, Canada versus Costa Rica, why is this game so important, Adam?
Well, it's a Gold Cup quarterfinal.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, that speaks for itself. It's important because I think, you know, coming out of Group B, we were always going to play either Costa Rica or Jamaica. That's what it was most likely going to happen. And again, like I said, not the biggest difference between both teams, both very good teams. But this game is important for September because this is exactly the team that we're going to be competing with for a spot at the World Cup. Assuming Mexico and US are 1-2, that third and fourth spot, Jamaica, Costa Rica, Honduras, Panama, us, those are the teams that are going to be in the dogfight for that final couple places. So this is exactly the team to measure yourself against.
You know, a lot of Canada FC fans I talk to while I'm at work, sometimes I'll see people walking with jerseys or other football jerseys, and I'll ask them about Canada. And there's a lot of people who have been keeping up with this. A lot of them are saying we're more than capable of making it this year.
I mean, why not? Why not?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's not like we're struggling like previously. It's obviously a fight. It's a dog fight, like you said, but it's not like we're small dogs this year. We're pretty big dogs.
Yeah, no, it can happen. And even without some of our best players, we have depth. We've talked about that before. And it's doable.
John Herdman has made it a different sport for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Herdman, I'm telling you, what convinced me about Herdman was when back in 2018, they said to him, I think he was on Tim and Sid, and he said to them, I know we have the World Cup in 2026, but my objective is to get to 2022. I'm not thinking about 2026. I'm thinking about Qatar, right? That has to be the mentality of this Canadian men's national team.
Definitely. You can't rely on the freebies. You have to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Gold Cup's a great opportunity because these are games we're going to get in September. And Costa Rica is exactly the team to measure yourself against. Plus, it's the Gold Cup. It's a chance at a major trophy. It's a quarterfinal, which we haven't been past in way too long. Let's do it.
It'll be a good tune-up game, one to start the momentum if we win.
Yeah, and hopefully it would give us big momentum if we were to win going into a semifinal against probably Mexico.
Yes. How has Costa Rica been performing so far? What are your thoughts on them?
Costa Rica have been great so far. 3 wins, 3 games, perfect group stage. What I will say is that they haven't been super convincing, in my opinion. They've had... I really look at the... Okay, the Costa Rica and Jamaica game, I'm not really going to say anything about because both teams rotated. They were already off to the knockout stage. And you could see in the game, like, you can't take much from that. But right. If you look at the Guadeloupe and Suriname game, two teams they should be beating. Suriname outplayed them for large parts of that game. And Guadeloupe, after going down 2-0 and then making it 2-1, had momentum and then took a red card. And that pretty much did it. So Guadeloupe, it was more of their own doing. Even the first goal they allowed was their own doing. It was a gift for Costa Rica. So I don't think it's been as smooth. And teams have troubled them on the counterattack. And when teams have really gone at Costa Rica and pressed them in midfield, and Suriname have gotten the likes of, you know, their danger players like Becker and Hasselbaink, all their big guys, Bissessoir, when they've gotten those guys on the ball, they've posed real threats, and Suriname probably should have at least got a draw. So Costa Rica, after having a really difficult 2019, they've come into the Gold Cup. They had a difficult Nations League, right? They lost both. They lost their semis and they lost the third place game. Right, they're at the Gold Cup. Okay, they're 3 wins out of 3, but I don't think it's been very convincing. They've been good. They've done enough. They haven't been the Costa Rica that I remember from 2014, 2018.
Yes, the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, and it's an aging team, which, I mean, nothing against age. I just think that this generation is coming to an end for Costa Rica.
How are they defensively?
I mean, they have Waston at the back, so he's really good. But
right,
I think they're a team you can get in behind them and you can cause problems. Suriname, Guadeloupe both cause problems. And I think Canada can do the same. It's going to be a tough game. Costa Rica, they're so experienced. They've been through these big games so many times. And again, they're still a team that has amazing quality. It's just, again, it's not what I remember from that 2014 run that they had. And I think, I don't think usually, you know, I remember years previous, you'd say, U.S., Mexico, Costa Rica, third. In my opinion, Costa Rica aren't definitely the third best team in CONCACAF. There's a toss-up for that. There's teams that have closed the gap on them, and Canada are one of them. And this is going to be, I think this is a pretty even game. Maybe Costa Rica have a little bit of the edge, but based on their experience and based on Canada not having a lot of their biggest players. But I think this can be really close, and I think Canada can cause problems.
That's good to hear for us. I know Canada's play style is the counterattack. We're so heavily based on that. Do you think we'd be able to do that a lot of that this game against Costa Rica, or do they close down the gaps easily and fall back? Do they have the pace to match our counterattack energy?
See, I don't think they have the pace to match Davies and David and Laren, and I don't. Now, without...
Right, but without all of those players, of course, right?
I think we could still hurt them in wide areas with Buchanan, Larea. I think we can cause problems in behind those Costa Rican fullbacks. I think we can cause problems. And Costa Rica will be our team that love to play on the front foot. Love to have a lot of possession. And Canada, like I'd said before the U.S. game, you know, unless they're chasing the game, they're going to have to accept that. Again, Costa Rica's one of the bigger teams. You're going to have to concede more possession than you would against Martinique, against Haiti, whatever, Suriname, those types of teams.
Right.
So, but it opens up those avenues in behind Costa Rica's defense. And I think, hopefully, Canada's wing backs can cause problems. And I think Tejan Buchanan maybe could cause some problems too.
Okay. So as of now, we are without five of our players. Is that correct? We have Boyan and David are out for international.
Yeah. Our field's not here also.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Tiba Hutchinson isn't.
So who do you think we should be starting? Because I know also our three players that are injured are Davies, Davies, Laren, and Akinola, right?
Yeah, so I think we should stick with our three at the back. I know Herdman moved it around against the U.S. in game.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, I think a really good thing. This team in World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, we saw that experimentation.
Yeah, there. They should be able to switch if they're chasing a game, whatever, switch to a back four, sacrifice one of those center backs. I like that.
So you want Estacio starting again?
Yes, Estacio for me has to be in there again. Frazier was good against the U.S., but Estacio is one of our best players.
Okay.
So in my opinion, yeah, we stick with our back three. Miller on the left.
I liked Buchanan also. I like him up top.
Yeah, yeah. For me, stays at wing back. And then if we're chasing the game and we need to put him higher, then we'll do it. Yeah, probably a back three of Miller, Vitoria, Johnson, and then wing backs, Buchanan, Larea, the midfield. I would like...
Not Scott Kennedy?
He's dealing with an injury, actually, Scott Kennedy. I'd read that. Yeah.
Oh, is he? Oh,
so okay. That's why Kamal Miller is there, which is too bad, but it is what it is. And Estacio in midfield. I want to bring Marc-Anthony Kay back in.
Yes, I love Kay.
And then Osorio just in front. And then you got Hoylett and Cavallini as the front two. And without Laren and Akinola,
You want to move Hoylett up top?
Yeah. Yeah, Herdman...
Honestly, he does it naturally anyways. I think it's the right call to make.
Yeah, yeah. And he can kind of play off of Cavallini too, which is really nice.
Definitely, yeah. When Cavallini's not there, you always find one of those top, like, big attacking midfielders finding their way to the top. So it's a good chemistry for Canada's forward.
Yeah, yeah. And I think... Too, a lot's going to have to fall on Cavallini in front of goal.
Definitely. A lot more than usual.
Yeah, which I think he's had a rough tournament.
Yeah.
But this is a chance, right? This is a chance, and he's going to have to be clinical, so.
Are we looking at another Werner here?
He's not as fast as Werner.
Right. I mean, Werner is still a smart player.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, so, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's a Gold Cup quarterfinal.
It'll definitely be a good game. So everyone go tune in to watch that.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty on paper. It's pretty even. Maybe you'd give Costa Rica the slight edge with some of the experience they have. And they've brought a pretty good squad. I mean, I'm just going to mention Campbell, the striker for Costa Rica, is... He's got 3 goals in 3 games in this tournament. If you guys remember him at World Cups and stuff, I mean, yeah, no, he's a monster. So Canada's going to have to deal with him. So, yeah, it's a team of experience. It's a team that's been here, done it.
Yeah, they know what it's like to be at the top, like the World Cup even, right? So, like you said, they are experienced. But nonetheless, it will be a good game because we got a lot of young talent. And they got the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are the games Canada needs. I don't think there's much more to learn against the lower ranked teams in CONCACAF. We've been great in terms of keeping our foot on the gas and breaking through tight defenses and low blocks and this and that. It's time that we face what we're going to face starting September, which is teams that have genuine elite players in most positions and are genuine World Cup contenders, and can match us in every position, if not stronger than us in some positions. You know, those are the games we need.
Yes, it's a good test of our how far we've come.
Yeah, yeah, and this will be hopefully a test that we can pass and we can get to a semifinal. It's doable. I think this one can go either way. One of the toughest to predict in the quarters.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, for those interested on when this game is happening, Costa Rica versus Canada, Sunday, July 25th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So I know One Soccer streams it. Tune in for that. Hopefully Canada can move on to the semifinals, which would be really cool. Yeah, there's not much else left to say. Do you have anything else to add, Adam?
Not really. Just go Canada and go Canada. Hopefully we can do it Sunday.
We will be back next week to recap Canada's group stage at the Tokyo Olympics and the Gold Cup quarters. Hopefully we make it past that. But yeah, as Adam said, go Canada and go women in the Tokyo Olympics. Thanks for listening, everyone, and peace.